Welcome to the Not Just a Pony Ride podcast, presented to you by Hetra University. If you've landed here, you're probably passionate about how horses help people. This podcast is for anyone who helps others experience the benefits of horses or those who have experienced it themselves. If you're in the equine assisted services industry, we're here to help you. If you're here just to learn more, you're in the right place. Welcome to your community of like-minded people, where you will hear stories, education, science, and explanations about how what we do is so much more than just a pony ride. And now, from the Hetra campus in Gretna, Nebraska, here's your host, occupational therapist and CTRI, Katie Ott.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Today I have something so exciting to announce, and I couldn't think of a better episode to make this announcement with. Today I have Christina Cox, the program director at Equilibrium in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. And she has had an incredible journey to her place now. She's a CTRI and soon to be an ESMHL, but she is a board certified athletic trainer. So today we're going to talk about how her life's paths have sort of crossed and intermingled and how her athletic training degree has really helped her become a better CTRI. But we also talk about how important education is for us in this industry. And boy, do I have something to tell you about education. So we are introducing Hetra University Live. If you've been following the podcast a while, you know how important education is to us. And we truly believe that the more we can lean on each other for our knowledge that this industry needs, the more participant lives that we are ultimately able to impact, right? So we're thrilled to take the energy from this podcast and our mentoring program and our extensive webinar list and turn it into this live in-person conference. So in February of 2024, come on over to the Hetra Barn. You can observe our adaptive writing sessions live as they're happening with some one-on-one type mentorship from our amazing staff. And we're going to host a networking event that evening. And then the next day, we're going to kick it off with a dynamic, hands-on saddle fit session where you can learn really practical saddle fitting advice for your center from our awesome equine staff here at Hetra. But then my personal favorite is exploring the influence of horse movement and how it impacts the rider. So we're actually going to look at several of our Hetra horses and kind of pick apart their movement and really look at anatomically and kind of biomechanically what is happening to the horse and the rider and how do we harness the power of both of those movements to really create the best sessions for our participants. This is all happening February 15th and 16th prior to the PATH Region 7 conference weekend. We're also hosting the Region 7 conference here at Hetra. So please click on the link in the show notes to get more information on the timing and all the details of what's included for the low, low price of $50. If you're a part of our educational club at Patreon, you're actually going to get this in-person conference for $40. So I know you're all thinking, well, where's the link for that? You can check all of those things in the show notes or come over to us at hetrauniversity.org. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the show, Christina. I'm so glad to have you. After our many attempts at trying to find the correct time zones we were in, now here we are. So why don't we get started by you just telling our listeners a little bit about you and what you do and where you are.
Awesome. Thanks, Katie. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited. My name is Christina Cox. I am a certified athletic trainer. I am also a certified therapeutic riding instructor through PATH, and I am on my way to finishing up my ESMHL certification. I guess I should note the time zone difference. So I'm from Nazareth, Pennsylvania, born and raised, went away to college, came back, been here ever since. So.
Very good. So you have a little bit of a different background than some people that get into the therapeutic, you know, riding and therapeutic horsemanship world as an athletic trainer. So I'm looking forward to talk to you a little bit about that and kind of how you found the CTRI process in that. But why don't you give us a little background kind of on your education and how you, you know, got into athletic training? Have you been a horse person your whole life?
Yeah, actually, I started riding when I was five.
Wow.
Nope, seven. Sorry. Seven, I started. And I loved it. I started out, I think, as most young kids do, just taking riding lessons. And then it turned into, you know, we got a horse. My mom and I rode together. So, you know, we got a horse that we could share. And then I got to be, I think I was 14 and I wanted to play softball. I grew up in a baseball family. So my brothers were playing baseball. My dad was coaching and I wanted to get into softball. So I decided that would be a fun thing to do with a different group of friends. As you know, the your barn friends that you grow up with are a little bit different than your school friends usually. So I started playing softball, and during, I think, my second year of softball, I tore my ACL, sliding into third base. I was not safe. And from there, I had to have surgery and go through rehab. And as a 14-year-old, it was really, really tough on me. But for some reason, I took an interest, as much as I hated physical therapy, mainly because it hurt so much. I took an interest in the physiology behind it. And I didn't really know where that was going to lead at the time, but I liked my PTs and I just kind of developed an interest in the back of my head. And I also told myself I was never going to play softball again because it took me away from riding for 9 months. So I got back into riding. And then, you know, when it came time to start looking for schools, I wanted to go away to college to do like equine science. And this is back in the early to mid 90s. I'm dating myself now, but I remember my mom saying, I'm not paying for you to go to college to, I wanted to run like a show barn. I just wanted to do what my instructor did. I was like, I want a barn and I want to teach riding lessons. And she's like, you do not need a college degree to do that. I'm like, but they have them. And she said, it's too bad. So I was kind of forced. I am grateful for this to this day, but, you know, kind of forced to not pursue the equine science route. And I had that my doctor, my actually my orthopedic surgeon was the team physician for the college I was at. I went to Moravian College to start and he was the team physician. And he said, you know, why don't you go do some athletic training stuff, be a student athletic trainer. And I was like, okay, that's something to do. So I went and I loved it. Within like a month or two, I loved it. So I actually ended up transferring to East Stroudsburg University, getting my degree in athletic training and sports medicine. I had stopped riding in those years at some point. It just kind of fell off. I think a lot of people go through that, like in their, you know, college years. It just, I loved horses, but we sold, you know, we sold our horses. I kind of somehow just shut the door on riding. When I graduated with my bachelor's degree, I ended up, you know, taking a job right away out of college with Coordinated Health. At the time, it was a healthcare facility in the Lehigh Valley. And within 6 months of that, I was placed at Nazareth High School, at where I went to high school. I went back to my alma mater, which was kind of a dream for me. And I ended up, that was the start of a 20-year career at Nazareth. I was the head athletic trainer. And I just kind of dove into the sports medicine world. So about halfway through that, I would say, you know, somewhere about like 10 years in, I'm not even sure. This time just falls apart, as you know, like over the years, it's just all runs together. Mm-hmm. We had lost a very special basketball player due to a rare form of cancer. And I was the race director for a 5K that we started in his memory. While I was the race director, at one of the races, somebody had come and left, like people would leave flyers, you know, like for fundraisers or businesses. And so we were cleaning up. I found a flyer for Equilibrium. It was for a fundraiser that they were doing. Their location was about a half an hour away from me then. And I was like, oh, I remember this organization. I heard of this. And my cousin actually has cerebral palsy and he was riding with Equilibrium. And I knew that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe I'll go volunteer and I'll get back into horses. Like, it was my way to get back into horses. So I went up and I, you know, met, you know, the instructor who actually had come to my race, dropped off the flyer. We ended up becoming friends. She was also from Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And I started my journey with Equilibrium as a volunteer. I got knocked off my high horse really quickly, pun intended. When I started going, and you know, I got immediately placed in the hippotherapy program. And so I was like, oh, well, I'm an athletic trainer and I do sports medicine, so I know exactly what we're doing up here. And the lead therapist, she's a physical therapist, she's still with us today. She's our lead therapist. She was like, no, you don't. You don't have this kind of training. We're going to learn very quickly. And I was very quickly humbled. But the whole point was that I wanted to do things with horses. I just wanted to lead the horses. I just wanted to get back into riding. I had almost had no intention of doing anything with the participants. I worked with athletes. I didn't really know anything about people with special needs. And I changed my outlook really quickly, and it became less about my own selfish endeavors to do things with horses again, and more about what can I actually do? What can I bring to the table as an athletic trainer now that I've been humbled? what can I actually do to be a part of this world? And from there, it spiraled, as it always does with horses. The organization actually moved to Nazareth, which was crazy. I was like, wow, this is right down the street from me. This is a sign. So I became barn staff assistant. I started working cleaning stalls, and then I decided to go become instructor. So I went through the whole process to become a TRI back then, because we didn't have the certification part to it, but I did the certification.
So during this time, were you still doing your athletic training, you know, your athletic trainer job, or did you jump completely at that time?
No, I was still working as an athletic trainer. I was doing, when I got my, you know, certification and became an instructor, I was teaching, you know, in the mornings, maybe like a couple, like 3 hours on a Monday, 3 hours on a Wednesday. And that was it. My full-time job was still at Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And I was just doing instructing part-time. I remember at some point thinking, I wonder if I would ever flip-flop my careers. And I was like, no, I can't do that. I can't afford that. And here we sit. So yeah, it was like that for quite a few years, actually. That's what I did. I taught in the mornings. I was an instructor. I was part-time. And then I had left Equilibrium for a short period of time, just to follow a little bit different of a path. Our program director and my instructor at the time had moved into opening her own private facility, and I felt I needed that mentorship. So I kind of moved with her for about a year and a half. But my entire career came crashing down from an athletic training standpoint when it kind of stinks. As an athletic trainer, you know, most people think that we just do, and I can go into this a little bit later if you'd like, about like what an athletic trainer actually does. But at least in our area, our positions are contracted. So I was an outreach athletic trainer. I was at Nazareth 20 years. I had not planned on leaving. They don't switch people in and out, but we had a contract. Unfortunately, our contract became null and void when Coordinated was taken over by Lehigh Valley Health Network. And that put us kind of in an opportunity for other healthcare providers to come in and say, well, here's the services we can provide. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, our school district, in a very surprising twist, chose a different healthcare provider. And I had a choice to either jump ship and go to the other healthcare provider or stay with LVHN. But at that point, my time at Nazareth was done. Mm-hmm. I was devastated. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was crushing. This came right out of COVID, which was not a good time for any of us from a career standpoint. We had to do a lot of really hard things during COVID. And I had made the decision to stay. I left Nazareth reluctantly. And at that point, I had realized I knew how much I loved what I did, how what I did was so purposeful that I couldn't go back to just working a job to make money. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not why I went to work every day. I never went to work in those 20 years thinking, I have to go here today and cover this football game because if I don't, I won't make money. I mean, I went because I loved what I did.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a beautiful thing.
It was. And you take that for granted, I think. I didn't realize that now I had to go to work because if I didn't, I would lose my farm. I have my own little farm with my own little horses. And that was my dream come true. And I couldn't lose that. But I also couldn't work just to try and go make a paycheck. So I had the opportunity to potentially take over as program director at Equilibrium. And from there, it's like kind of how the story is written now. I jumped at it. I fought for the position to be full time. And I worked really hard to kind of make it what it, you know, the position what it is today. Mm-hmm. And so now I am full time doing therapeutic horsemanship and I do athletic training per diem.
Very
that's my story.
Wow. What a full circle thing from like finding a flyer when you were cleaning up, a 5K to where you are now as a full-time. So is your position now full-time program director at Equilibrium?
Yes. Yeah. Great. I've been in that position or it's been full-time for almost 3 years, 2.5, 3 years now. So
awesome.
Yeah.
How are you finding your, do you still, find that same joy that you did athletic training? I mean, do you still feel like you're not going to work for a paycheck?
I don't really know how to fully describe this because I just don't think words can actually convey it. But if I thought what I did before was so purposeful and fulfilling and I loved, I feel that like tenfold now. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how if I could love something more than what I did, but I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the point where our executive director, Jesse, has to tell me, you need to take off. I love going to work. I love everything about it. There's not a day that's come by where I'm like, God, I can't believe I have to go deal with this. I love it so much. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel truly, truly blessed.
Very good. That's all we ever want. That's the ultimate goal, I think, for lots of people. And something that we are very blessed to say in this industry specifically, I think more often than not. So tell me a little bit about kind of what your day looks like now. Are you still instructing classes or are you mostly on the administration side of things?
Mostly administration. I've kept a couple lessons and I started developing, I started a program called Equine Assisted Therapeutic Yoga, which is along the same lines of equine assisted movement, but we were doing yoga on horseback. So, not the down dogs, but, you know, just upper body yoga, breathing, mindfulness, that kind of thing. I transitioned that into a fitness class where we're using bands and weights and things like that. So I was teaching those kinds of classes that where I really could throw in my athletic training, you know, knowledge and experience. I'm not really teaching any group lessons or anything from that mm-hmm. standpoint. That's going to change this winter. I'll be teaching a little bit more, moving into 2024. But it's, you know, just a little bit more. It's my role is still primarily administrative.
Yeah. So how do you feel like your, you know, degree and your experience as an athletic trainer had prepared you for like even going through the CTRI process and like being able to teach those classes or, you know, do groups like the yoga or the exercise and that kind of thing? I mean, obviously I know that that's totally in your wheelhouse, but tell us the listeners a little bit about kind of how you feel those overlapped or helped you prepare.
This episode is sponsored by Freedom Rider. Freedom Rider's mission is to provide safe, top quality tack, supplies, and resources for riders, horses, instructors, and trainers. Starting in 1996 as a catalog of hard-to-find specialty items for therapeutic riding and driving, this company has grown to include more items for therapeutic riding, hippotherapy, and able-bodied riders of all disciplines. By working with select manufacturers, specialized craftsmen and women, and actually developing their own products based on customer needs. This store carries everything from hard-to-find adaptive tack solutions, saddles, all different kinds of reins, educational books and curriculums, fun equipment like rings, beanbags, sensory items, and so, so much more. Check out Freedom Rider and all they have to offer at www.freedomrider.com.
Yeah, athletic training and sports medicine, to me, it was, I like seeing how people, you know, how people move, the biomechanics of it. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think, and this is where going back to when I first started and I was volunteering and I was very humbled, it's much different when you're talking about, you know, those who have, you know, physical disabilities. One thing that I thought, just because I had done sports medicine and I had done a lot of, you know, orthopedic rehabilitation, you know, ankle sprains, you know, those ACL rehabs, we're working with athletes who are, you know, getting back on the field after these injuries. It's way different when you're dealing with somebody with neurologic conditions. That's not something that an athletic trainer is really, really, we don't go, that's not part of our education. Ironically, now it is. The education curriculum for athletic trainers nowadays is unbelievably extensive, mm-hmm. Which is why, again, we're still always fighting for that, I hate to say recognition, but awareness of what mm-hmm. athletic trainers do. I think a lot of it was really brought to the limelight. And I don't know how many, a lot of our, you know, our listeners in the horse community, it doesn't really cross over into the sports world that much. Mm-hmm. But I think almost everybody heard about Damar Hamlin from the Buffalo Bills, who went down last January having a cardiac incident on the field on Monday Night Football. He's alive today for the most part because of those athletic trainers who jumped in immediately. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, you know, the extent of our experience, you know, experience and what we're taught, when I went, there wasn't a lot of, I didn't know really what to expect with Down syndrome. It wasn't until I started the CTRI process that I was like, oh, wow, there's, you know, low tone with, you know, those with Down syndrome. And so that aspect of it, I was able to kind of really wrap my brain around what we needed to do, to, you know, utilizing the movement of the horse in an equine assisted movement class. How can we actually achieve those, you know, those kinds of therapeutic goals from that standpoint? What can we do as a CTRI to help people with balance and proprioception? So going through the CTRI process at that, you know, at that time, it was, I felt a lot of it, there was a lot that was similar and translated into my board certification for athletic training.
Mm-hmm. So you spoke a little bit about like the biomechanics of people and how our movement and the way our muscles work and all of that is obviously directly, you see that when you ride, but how about the biomechanics of horses and like how that impacts the rider? Is that something that you found like especially interesting with your horse background and like kind of deconstructing that a little bit?
Oh my gosh, I found it so fascinating. I struggle still, I think mainly because I think I have this perfectionist eye. I have to kind of soften my eyes a little bit. From the centered riding perspective, between hard eyes and soft eyes, I think with gait analysis. So gait analysis is really hard for me to see sometimes when it's really actually much simpler than what I'm trying to look for, I think. So you take a human and you try and analyze their gait when they're walking just to determine. I'm also a corrective exercise specialist. That's through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. The point of that certification is to be able to take any kind of, you know, asymmetry and figure out, you know, why is this person getting chronic ankle sprains? It's not just because they have a weak ankle. They've got, you know, something going on in their hip. So let's, you know, get to the bottom of it and do use corrective exercises to prevent or correct, mm-hmm. you know, asymmetry. So from that standpoint, you know, you're looking at somebody walk and their movement patterns. And, you know, that's for one, you know, one situation or one incident, you know, issue that they might have that you're trying to work on. But then you take a horse and you put them on a horse and see what their body does and how their movement patterns change when they're on a horse. And then, because you have to look at the horse's movement patterns, you know, what breed is that horse? Are they gated? What are they older? Do they have, you know, then I go down this rabbit hole.
Yeah. Where, do they have asymmetries? Do
oh my gosh. Then you do that. Yeah. You're looking, you know, well, they're, you know, right front knee is arthritic and that's actually decreasing their flexion in the carpus joint. And so mm-hmm. if they're doing that, what is that doing to their hind left? Oh my gosh. You could really, you know, and if their hind left has a, you know, if they have like a bump in their hip a little bit that they're kind of, you know, taking a weird step, what's that doing to the rider's right pelvis, mm-hmm. you know, pelvic or, you know, that. So yeah, you can really go down this hole, as you know, this whole rabbit hole.
Yes. I also am super geeked out about the mechanics and how all that stuff works. But I think that is such a huge testament to like, I have to say it, but like what we do is so much more than just like a pony ride, right? Like it's so much more than just riding because like we're looking at, you know, not every CTRI has the, you know, extensive background that you do, Christina, but, you know, thinking about some of that, like if your horse is not, you know, super sound or has kind of a hitch in their giddy up or whatever, that is going to directly impact your rider. And, you know, how do we as instructors, you know, either modify activities that we're doing or, you know, help our participants be successful as possible from a, you know, a posture and riding standpoint. Because at the end of the day, you know, CTRIs and therapists are different, but it is, you know, in my opinion, at least that we as instructors should be aware of, you know, how that movement is impacting our riders and how we help them.
Right. I think that kind of comes down to, you know, it parallels to the whole, you know, with athletic training, it therapeutic horsemanship, because there's so much that goes into it. Like our CTRIs are so extensively trained, I think, to be able to see these different types of things that, you know, people do think it's just a pony ride. I mean, how much do we always, you know, get, you know, kind of want to smack people when they're like, well, you're not doing any work. Your horse is doing all the work. You're mm-hmm. just sitting there. And it's, there's so much that goes into the pairing of the horse and the participant, you know, as you guys do, our horses, you know, some are really slow. Some, you know, the movement is what's needed to kind of give the participant input that's needed to help them sit up taller. There's just a lot that goes into it. And it's just so important. And it's so fascinating. I just, mm-hmm. I really do. I really get nerdy over it.
We do too. At Hetra, we do, for our therapists and our, instructors, both, we do what we call, like dot presentations where they put dots, you know, on all of the parts of the horse and me. And then we watch how the movement is impacted by the riders and things. And so, it's really fun, but it's also really eye-opening for a lot of our instructors that like, maybe have a lot of horse experience, or don't either way, but that get to see how that movement is imparted to the rider. And some of our horses, they know really well, are like, whoa, I didn't know that Sparky was so lateral or whatever, you know, whatever it is. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have a question about your degree. This is kind of like a theoretical question. So nowadays, now, especially, you know, recently, I've seen a lot more degree programs popping up for things like therapeutic horsemanship and that type of a thing. If there was like a therapeutic horsemanship class available to you when you were going through school, do you think you would have like participated in it, or if you knew about it, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, it's hard to say where you are all those years ago. You mm-hmm. know, my brain was in a totally different area back then. Oh my gosh. I look at Centenary University is only like an hour from us, and they have a wonderful therapeutic riding program there that's actually, and I look at their degree courses just for all their equine, you know, science degrees. And I'm like, oh my God, this is way different than just barn management, you know, back in the 90s. I think if I were in school today, I would absolutely, I mean, part of me wants to go back to college just to do some of those fun degrees. Mm-hmm. But I think we grow up and we're kind of put where we're supposed to be put when we're put there. I almost am ashamed to admit it, but I just read the book by Monty Roberts, his first book, The Man Who Listens to Horses.
Yes, yes, that's such a great book.
So I bought that in the maybe not in the 90s, whenever, remember when The Horse Whisperer came out, that book, the book, I think, and the movie, mm-hmm. and the movie got like, like attention. And I think I'd been out of riding maybe at that point. I was like, ooh, riding, you know, but this is what I used to do. And I think I bought the book and started reading it. And I was like, this is way over my head. This is, you know, this isn't riding stuff. This is just, you know, in my juvenile mind, It was, you know, the man who listens to horses, like, I just need to ride, you know,
it's mumbo jumbo.
Yeah. That's all I thought. And I just read it. And cause I've really, really recently, I want to say in the last like 3 years or so, really have started to focus more on unmounted horsemanship and mm-hmm. developing the connection with the horses and why we're actually in this to begin with. Like, it all comes down to the horses and who they are and what they bring from not only healing perspectives, but just a thousand different areas. And I really started to think like, God, I overlooked that as a kid. All I wanted to do was dress my horse up and, you know, pink saddle pads and polo wraps and, you know, do the matchy-matchy thing and win ribbons. Mm-hmm. And it's so far beyond that now. So to me back then, I don't know if I would have, because I may not have cared about the therapeutic aspect. I may have just wanted to go and, you know, raise, you know, champion hunter jumpers or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I am where I am today, because I see how much more important, you know, the therapeutic side of it is, that, you know, I can help bring those services to others.
Right. And I think there has been like a huge cultural shift in the last, you know, 10 years, 5 to 10 years, about kind of that more therapeutic perspective. And so that's, I think, part of why we're seeing all these different programs pop up, because there's, you know, maybe they offer classes or like an associate's degree or something that's a little bit smaller, but it's like, you know, in that class, you might have psychology majors or athletic training majors or, you know, education. You might have, you know, people from every walk of life that like come together on this one topic, that we agree that horses are awesome and therapeutic and can be wonderful partners. So I don't know. Yeah. I was just interested on your perspective on that, coming from a different kind of background.
Yeah, it's, I'm just glad I found it now, at mm-hmm. least, you know, back then, maybe it wasn't the right time for it. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What would you tell, maybe someone who is looking at, you know, an exercise science or athletic training degree or something like that, that is interested in what you do to like get started or that type of a thing?
I think the best way to learn or to dive in or get your feet wet is to volunteer. I mean, you have to see it, you have to feel it, you have to, you know, books are great, but you have to really experience it to really get it. So I feel like, you know, in any field, really, you know, when I was in high school, they didn't have the thing where I don't even know if they had take your kid to work day back then, but you know, like, you know, now they have shadowing programs where you get to go see things. But you know, we have up at East Stroudsburg, I was in the athletic training program, but there's a, you know, recreational therapy programs now. And, one of their professors that actually brings his class down once a year to Equilibrium so they can see things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the kids are like, oh, this is, you know, whatever, boring. And some of them really are like, I had no idea this existed. Mm-hmm. And so I really express to them, like, you come and volunteer. There's opportunities for internships. There's, you know, get in and see what this actually entails. And and feel it, you know, whenever possible. I try to, you know, I hate to say you look forward to, you know, if you're teaching and a participant cancels, but if there's an opportunity, you have a horse down there and volunteers mm-hmm. just standing around, put them on that horse, let them feel it. Do that with the therapist. I mean, we've got, you know, OTs and OT students who come to us a lot. And the first thing I want them to do is get on a horse and feel what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Giving them those opportunities. You know, I always think about it, you know, we feel really blessed to work in this profession. And a lot of times we take it for granted, but you know, that OT student who got placed at, you know, your farm, who was told, go do this, you know, you put them on a horse, they go home that day. And that's all they can think about. That's all they mm-hmm. tell their friends, you know, is I got to be on a horse today. And it was so cool. So giving them those opportunities, I think, and really educating and making, you know, allowing people to be aware of what we do. I think that's the biggest thing in helping people determine if that's the right path for them.
Oh, 100%. I can't agree more with what you said on all fronts. I think we do the same thing with our students too, that come to us. Once we have the, you know, proper releases signed and everything, and they're comfortable with it, we put them on and we make them do some of the activities that, you know, they would make their participants do. And I'm like, see, isn't that weird? Like, you're asking your kids to do that, you know, or your participants to do that. And you're right. Usually we'll take a picture or something and I say, you know, ask your friends, your fellow students, what they did at work today.
Yeah.
You know, they love that stuff. So
yeah,
that's really cool. A cool way to share what we do for sure.
Definitely.
Well, Christina, we didn't really talk a whole lot about equilibrium, but kind of as we wrap up here, do you want to tell us just a little about, you know, your center and, you know, maybe how they could find equilibrium or you if they want to talk more with you?
Yeah, we are located in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Our website, I think if you just kind of Google equilibrium.org, we have a hyphen in the middle of equilibrium. You know, all of our contact information is there. We have a, you know, a ton of different services and programs, I think at least. and we're always developing more. We are a PAP Premier Center. We have just the most amazing people. And I think every center says that. Every center is biased, you know, because, and they're not wrong.
Right.
You know, they're not wrong. We, you know, have participants who have been with us for, one of our participants has been with us, I want to say 40 years, because we've been in existence for like 43, I think now, or something along those lines. And I feel blessed because as the program director, I get to take their ideas sometimes and bring them to fruition. I love that we get to take these, you know, programs and ideas and bring them to different levels. My latest endeavor is I really want to take the whole concussion. You know, I spoke at the international conference in Charlotte on concussions and equestrian athletes, and I'm on this soapbox. You know, we have to start treating equestrians as athletes, and we can't just, you know, bang our head when we fall off a horse who's cantering around the ring and be like, you know, shake it off and say, I'm fine, I'm getting back on. You know, I could speak for hours just on that itself. So I'm trying to work with, I'm currently in the process of working with LVHN, who's my, you know, employer as an athletic trainer,
mm-hmm.
and working with their concussion and head trauma center to develop a program for, you know, concussion management for equestrians with a return to ride progression.
And in our industry as a whole, you know, I mean, people don't always, we don't like to think about that, like our participants falling off or that, you know, happening, but it does. And we need to be prepared for it when it happens. Right. So I think our industry as a whole could benefit from something like that.
So yeah. How do we differentiate between, you know, a headache and something else, or a concussion and something else, when you have a participant who's nonverbal and can't, you know, can't verbally tell you, or somebody, you know, with special needs who might have symptoms that mimic those of concussion every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really brought that to my attention and said, this is extremely important for
yeah.
our profession to be aware of.
For sure. Well, let's do a formal ask right now. Christina, would you like to be on the podcast again to tell us about your journey with your concussion protocol?
Sure. Give me like a couple months to to develop this, because I'm really excited about it. And I definitely think it's going somewhere. So I would love to come back on and talk about the whole concussion thing, because it's important.
It is so important. Like it's been a topic at, if anyone's listening that has been to the last international conference, you were there. And then even at a couple of the last regional conferences I was at, people are starting to talk a lot more about concussions and helmet, you know, use and all of that. So, which we know we always wear helmets, but proper helmets is a whole nother deal, right? So we would love to have you back on. So everybody stay tuned, maybe in 2024, Christina will maybe come back for concussions.
Definitely.
All right. Yes. Christina, what is your why? Why do you keep doing what you do every day?
My why is because I think, and we probably all feel this way, I think that every single day I get to see a miracle in what we do. It could be a Tuesday morning when the rest of the world is doing all the different things and it's just me. And I get to do as the program director, I get to do all the initial assessments. So when people come in and it's their first time, so I get to see the parents' faces that first time their child gets on a horse, or, you know, they're screaming and crying because they're terrified to get on, and they get on the horse and, you know, they show that they're brave, and then the smile happens. And in those moments, sometimes that arena is just me and a handful of volunteers and the horse. And I just look around and I think the rest of the world is just flying by and a miracle just happened in here. And that's my why, is the everyday miracle that these horses get to bring just by being given to us in this world.
Oh, I love that. That just gave me goosebumps. Completely agree. I think a lot of people are on that same page, but you said it very eloquently. I like that, the concept of how it's true. The world is so fast paced, right? And you don't think about that. And you come into an environment like this and it's just like, holy crow, every hour on the hour, we see that, you know, all afternoon or whatever it is. And it's just, it's absolutely incredible.
It is. We're so blessed.
We are. All right. Well, thank you very much again, Christina, and we'll see you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks for listening to another episode. Until the next one launches, stay connected to our community by joining the Not Just a Pony Ride Facebook group. There, we share exclusive educational content, answer your questions, and review new and exciting developments for the EAS community. Don't forget, if you have suggestions for future episode topics, or a lead on a great guest that you think our audience would enjoy, click on the link in the show notes or visit us at hetrauniversity.org. This podcast is presented by Hetra University, an educational arm of the Heartland Equine Therapeutic Riding Academy. Hetra University's mission is to provide high-quality educational offerings to our participants and the EAS community. If you'd like to help us work toward our mission, you can make a donation by visiting us online at hetra.org. Again, I can't thank you all enough for helping Hetra change lives one stride at a time.